Welcome to Dome Patrol Premier League.
Hello and welcome to the Premier League podcast brought to you by the Dome Patrol Podcast Network. Apologies, this is the first show for 2 weeks. We were supposed to record after the last set of Premier League fixtures and before the weekend just gone. However, because Ben works stupid hours, we couldn't arrange a time where we were both free. Either he was at work or I was at work. And I'll be honest, I thought of doing it on my own, but nobody wants to listen to me talk for half an hour, do they?
Hey, well, I did it for the Euro.
Yeah, we don't talk about that.
The end of the Euro.
We don't talk about that. We don't talk about that. Still not over it. Joining me, as always, is Ben Wright. Ben, how are you?
Yeah, I'm good, man. All good. It's all going well. It's getting, do you know what? Since we stopped doing this, we're actually playing well.
So what are you saying? Are you expecting a defeat to Spurs this weekend?
Absolutely not. It's Spurs, man. There's no chance.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. It's going to be an interesting game, but we'll come on to this weekend's fixtures as we get to it. It's been 2 weeks since we recorded, so we're not going to go over the fixtures from 2 weeks ago because that's just too long ago. One, for me and Ben to remember what happened, and two, nobody wants to hear something that happened 2 weeks ago. So we'll start by doing a quick review of the fixtures from last weekend. We're going to abandon the 90 minutes in 90 seconds for this week, just because we've left it so long to record. So we will jump straight in. I suppose main talking points from the weekend just gone, and we'll cover them all in a bit more detail. But for me, the main talking points were Southampton going to City and getting a draw. Man City again missing a striker.
It's going to be their season.
It is. Brighton. Brighton winning again and amazingly making your pre-season prediction look pretty good at the moment.
I don't just say this thing's nothing now. I do have a bit of...
Well, a lot of the things you say I like that, but this one I'm gonna tip my cap to you. This was a good shout. The wheels have fallen off at Spurs. Don't laugh, Ben. And absolute penalty nonsense at the London Stadium for the United West Ham game. So
and you forgot the most important thing.
Go on,
Arsenal have important thing. Won two games in a row.
Hang on, you've. Stop! I've got something like it's too late now. Yeah, I can't do what I was going to say now. You've spoiled it.
Okay.
No, you spoiled it now. But yes, Arsenal finally win a game.
Excellent. Stop podcasting and that happens. So, thank you all for listening to this week's Dome Patrol.
Yeah,
I'm out.
Yeah, actually, you've now won three games this season, haven't you? Well, four games. If you count the two cup games. That you've played in. So go on, we'll start
and
there.
And every win we've done has been a clean sheet as well.
Yeah, go on, we'll start there then. Make it brief because we don't want to upset Ali.
Yeah. Briefly.
So what is it? Is it so? There's my thought is it's because of who you've played rather than how you've played. Am I wrong?
I'm going to go 50-50 wrong and right on that. Yes, we have played easier teams, but I think now you have finally seen a team that are back healthy and got the new signings in and embedded in that team now. So Ramsdale's come in and has looked excellent. Tomiyasu, fair credit to him. He's come in and played really well. You've finally got the White back from COVID and Gabriel's now not injured from the Olympics, so those two are back in. And then Partey's now back fit, and you're just getting the spine of the team back, and you can see the last two selections in the league. Arteta's been quite rigid on it. He's got his players he wants now, and yes, there were 2-1-0 victories against bottom of the league sort of caliber teams, but
Norwich are going to be the worst Premier League team in history. Norwich are going to be the worst Premier League team in history. I don't see how they win a game this year.
They have got goals in Pukki.
They can't stop conceding.
That is the problem. But no, I'm just going to say, yeah, just happy to be off the mark, really. There's obviously a lot tougher games to come. Arteta is still under the microscope. Yeah, starting this weekend, it will be a tough game. Every derby's tough, no matter what level it is. And when City used to be crap, but every time
always
they played United, they turned. Always a game.
Yeah, yeah.
Always a game. So, no, it's good progress. I'm glad we've now got the players in. It's, like I said, I'm going to give the manager till Christmas to make my mind up on him. Now he's got his players embedded.
Okay. Well, like I said, it wasn't me making a flippant comment. It was a genuine kind of, you played Brentford, lost, but there was COVID issues in the team.
Yeah.
Then you played Chelsea. Then you played City.
Who I'm still saying are going to romp the league this year. They look phenomenal. What they did to Spurs. I know Spurs weren't great, but what they did to Spurs the other night was just...
Chelsea are the favourites in my eyes. Yeah, Chelsea are the favourites in my eyes. Yeah, yeah, 100%. Chelsea are the favourites in my eyes. But then you went from those two, where you got pretty soundly beaten in both those games.
Yep, missing players, though.
To then Norwich. Right, you say you were missing players, but I don't think the result changed. The score may change.
No. The score may change, and it may look a bit more respectful, but the result probably wouldn't change.
Yeah. But I think that's going to be Arsenal this year, if I'm being completely honest with you. You're going to beat the teams lower down, but you're going to struggle against the teams nearer the top.
But that's sometimes not what Arteta does. Arteta, when he came in, he did get the results against the big teams. But, you know, he changed the narrative of us going and getting spanked by the big teams. And he's got some really good results against the big teams. So, I don't know. I still think this team is, because how young it is, I think the ceiling for it is going to probably be the ceiling. The maximum top ceiling for this team would be fifth in my eyes. But
That's an exceptional season for Arsenal this year if you finish fifth.
Absolutely, I agree with that. And that just shows how far we're falling and the rebuild project we're on. I think our average squad age is 23, and that's including a 32-year-old Aubameyang in that squad. That's how young this team is.
Yeah, that's pretty insane. That's pretty insane. And you're always going to get dodgy results and
inconsistencies. Fifth to seventh, I'll be happy this year.
Okay. So that's Arsenal. We'll come on to them a bit more when we do the preview of the fixtures this weekend. Let's go to City, Southampton. That game, 0-0. Shocked.
City lucky.
0-0. City were lucky. They had a penalty given against them and Kyle Walker sent off. And I don't see why it was overturned.
No, neither do I. It's a bit of oil money slipping into the officials' pockets there.
Yeah, I mean, so really, Southampton could probably have won that game, but City are not going to win the league this year.
City don't needed
have a striker
or fans.
Well, yeah, that's hilarious.
That's getting frosty. That is getting very frosty at the moment.
Yeah, no, it is.
38,000 for a Champions League game is all they can get in that Etihad, when 50,000 are turning up to watch Arsenal play Wimbledon.
But the tickets for the City-Leipzig game weren't a tenner, though, so you've got to take that into account.
No, they were. No, mate, did you not see? Mate, I was getting adverts on Facebook popping up all the time about it. They were dirt cheap.
Well, yeah. I mean, look.
They were about only 15 quid, I say.
City never sell out their stadium.
Oh, I know. When I went there early this year.
They never do. They never do. So,
defending champions, but one of the best teams in Europe, runners-up in the Champions League, defending champions. Like, if that was United, Chelsea, Arsenal, Liverpool, you wouldn't be able to get a seat.
Nope.
In any game.
No, you wouldn't.
In any game.
No, you wouldn't. But, you know, City are not going to do anything this year because they haven't got a striker. They're going to be good, but they won't win. Yeah. They won't win the league. They won't win the league. They won't win the Champions League because they haven't got a striker.
Yeah, I agree with that. I completely agree with that. That is the one thing they're really missing. And, well, we'll see what happens next summer in the window of strikers.
Well, there's going to be a couple available, I think, aren't there, next summer? So it's going to be interesting to see what happens there. So let's jump to Brighton. Your local Premier League team, you called it at the start of the season and said that they were going to be the surprise package this year. And you've been proven right.
Yeah. I just cut out there from you a minute ago. But no, Brighton have been absolutely fantastic. They're now starting to get the goals that they weren't getting last year. I think they're solid at the back, and they play very nice, quick transition football, getting the ball up the other end, and they're now finally starting to see a bit of end product. They did get the beat by Everton 2-0, but that Everton team's not a bad team. It's a well-coached team, that is. I think Brighton are on for, they could be on for a top 10 finish. It would be fantastic for Brighton. People starting to tip them going down, but yeah, top 10 finish. And I'm sorry, I think Graham Potter starts getting talked about when the bigger jobs come up.
Yeah. I'm surprised that Spurs didn't.
Yeah, I'm very surprised. I was very worried that they were going to, after they were on to what, their sixth or seventh candidate.
Yeah.
They weren't looking at Potter. So, I was very surprised.
Hypothetically, Arteta goes at Christmas, would he be your choice?
Yeah, Potter comes straight in.
Okay.
Depending what Vieira does at Palace. But I don't think Vieira will ever be Arsenal manager while the Cronkies are there because of his very public outspeaking and was very in favour of the Daniel Ek bid from Spotify during the summer.
He was.
I don't see Vieira being an option at all while the Cronkies are still there.
No. No, I can't see it either.
But no, if it goes tits up at Arsenal, then who better come in to make us strong, fast in transition, have a really good young core of players to work with, and Graham Potter. I think he's a fantastic coach.
But let's leave him at Brighton for now because they're doing so well.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%.
Right, so the final one to go through from last weekend was the mental game at the London Stadium. West Ham 1, United 2. The refereeing in that game was appalling. Precious. It was appalling. West Ham should have had one guaranteed penalty for the Wan-Bissaka tackle on Souček, I think it was. United should have had two penalties for fouls on Ronaldo. I mean, I don't understand how, with VAR looking at both of those, all three of those penalties weren't given. I don't know why. I mean, even you, as one of the biggest United haters that I know, because every time we lose, you text me.
I just do that to wind you up.
You were texting me to tell me that they were penalties.
Oh, yeah, blatant, mate. Honestly. I just... You know, so you probably get a lot of NFL listeners that listen to this podcast as well. And everyone moans about the standard refereeing in the NFL, but Jesus Christ, the Premier League aren't far behind the incompetence and the... what's the word I'm looking for? There's not much consistency. That's the word.
There's none. There's absolutely none. I mean, look, like I said, the West Ham penalty, Wan-Bissaka just went through the back of him, didn't get the ball, it was just a penalty. And then when you came to the Ronaldo, the first Ronaldo one, he does a step over, takes it round the defender. The defender sticks his leg out, hits Ronaldo, he goes over, nailed on penalty. And then the second one, takes Zuma on, Zuma slides in, misses the ball, takes Ronaldo, nailed on penalty. I mean, don't even get me started.
This is where VAR should be coming in.
Yeah. I mean, but VAR did come in the last minute when Luke Shaw handled the ball. Now, look, don't get me wrong. The rules state that if you make your body bigger and it hits your hand, it's a penalty. I'm not complaining that shouldn't have been a penalty because by the current rules, it was. But how VAR didn't go and look at the other three but then went to look at that one, I don't get it. I honestly don't get it.
Shocking. Really shocking. It was atrocious on them, to be fair. And yeah.
I mean, the game itself.
Standard of referee. You're going to see a lot of that this year because
I think you are.
Standard officiating.
I think you are.
Crap. There's a reason why British referees aren't being picked for these big European games anymore.
Well, there's a reason this weekend that for the first time a non-English referee is going to referee a Premier League game.
He refereed the game last night at the Emirates.
The Australian referee.
Yeah.
Jared Gillett or something, isn't it?
Yeah, he was the referee against Wimbledon.
Was he? Okay.
He's reffing the Watford
Newcastle game, is it? Is it Watford Newcastle?
Yeah.
So he's reffing that. But anyway, back to the United game. Ronaldo again, scored in every game he's played so far. He's guaranteed to score United goals this year. And it wouldn't surprise me if he ends up with 30 goals in the league before the end of the season. He just always seems to be in the right place at the right time. He's not the player he was when he left 15 years ago, however many years ago it was. But he's just going to score
different
a hatful
player.
Of goals.
It's a different player.
12 years ago. But he's going to score a hatful of goals, isn't he?
That Ronaldo was an absolute dominator on the wings and would just ruin teams. But this Ronaldo is his intelligence
of
game, he's adapted. He's a fox in the box. He's a pure number nine. Yep. We were just talking at work today about best strikers in the Premier League this season. And guy there, Tottenham fan, saying, well, it's got to be Harry Kane. It's like, no, fuck off. It's not Harry Kane. And it was all Chelsea fans like, it's Lukaku. And I was like, yeah, I can see Lukaku. But from what he's done since he's come in and the way he's adapted himself, it's Ronaldo. He's a striker now.
He is a centre forward. And I'll throw another name in there for you, somebody or two people who I think have done really well so far this season. Danny Ings, centre forward, and Ivan Toney from Brentford. Toney was unplayable against Wolves at the weekend.
If Ivan Toney didn't get up with Brentford last year, he was destined for a move to a Premier League team.
I think so.
There are rumours of us after him. There's. And how old is he now? Are you 27?
26, 27, something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Once again, this is another player that was on Newcastle books that let go.
Well, yeah. It's just not a well-run football club, are they?
I feel sorry for those fans. I really
do. Yeah, I do too. Well, I know quite a few Newcastle fans and it must be painful.
Yeah, I moan about the Cronkies all the time. You moan about the Glazers all the time, but fuck me, I'm glad it's not Mike Ashley.
Yeah, 100%, 100%. So the final one, just to touch on from last weekend, in fact, the last 2 weeks, is Spurs were flying with 3-1-0 wins in a row, and then they've shit the bed and have lost the last two games 3-0. Just laugh. We'll talk about Spurs Arsenal in a minute. So
Tottenham, in my opinion. I said my mate at work, he's a Spurs fan, turned to me and said, after three games, we were the worst ever team to be top of the league. Worst ever team to be top of the league after three games. And Harry Kane I don't know. I'm jinxing this now. He's going to score a hat for the weekend. I'll say this, but he just doesn't look like he wants to be there. He looks lethargic. I don't know if he's got a Euros hangover or struggling a bit for fitness because he came back late, but I don't know. Something's not right there.
He doesn't look happy.
And their defence. Their defence looks awful. They try and play out the back. They can't play out from the back. If any team goes against Spurs with a high press, they're going to annihilate them. Annihilate them.
Yeah, but then they did get their sixth choice manager.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And this is what really confuses me. I don't know why they've got rid of Mourinho about having someone lined up.
I think they just had to get rid of him.
But the timing they got rid of him as well, just before a cup final, was absolutely bonkers.
I think that's Daniel Levy's arrogance, isn't it?
Yeah. Like, they didn't want the whole... If Mourinho won a trophy, they wouldn't be able to get rid of him.
Exactly. Yeah. So he just thought, we need to get him out now.
But he's got you in a place where you're winning the trophy.
Potentially,
Not many Spurs managers can say they've done that.
No. I can't even remember. Was it Juan de Ramos was the last one to win a trophy?
Yeah, 2008. 2008, the last one, a trophy. League Cup.
Long time ago.
And it's still going to be a long, long time to the next one.
I suspect you're right. So, we come to this weekend's fixtures. We'll rattle through them quickly, just get a few thoughts and predictions. So, the first game of the weekend should be a cracker. Well, there's two first games of the weekend, but there's only one on TV. So, the first one, the game that's on TV this weekend, is Chelsea at home to Man City. And that is the 12:30 kickoff.
They're two of the top three teams in the league this year, in my opinion. That's going to be fantastic.
I think Chelsea are going to win fairly comfortably.
I reckon 2-0. I think Chelsea's defence is too good.
Have they conceded a goal yet this season?
Yeah, they have. I think they have. They must have. Did Villa put one past them?
They did in the cup in midweek.
They must have.
But anyway, yeah.
They must have. That would have been spoke about a lot if they still haven't conceded the goal. Yes, Liverpool. They drew with Liverpool.
Yeah, they drew one. Yeah, and that was a penalty. Yeah, so they drew one with Liverpool. But they've conceded one goal this season. That's not bad, is it?
Mate, it starts from the back. They've got a strong goalkeeper now, Mendy. I don't know if he's fit for this weekend. I think he might. He was injured last weekend, but he's absolutely fantastic, Mendy. And then the centre half pairing with Thiago Silva and Rudiger. I think they sometimes play a three as well. So
yeah, they chuck Christensen in there sometimes, don't they?
Yeah. But Rudiger, holy shit, this guy is on par to have be the best centre half in the league this year. Phenomenal player.
Yeah, he's had a good start.
Unbelievable athlete. Like, his pace is simple. He can go and be aggressive because he knows he's got the pace to bail him out. And he's just immensely impressed me. And he's, funny enough, he's actually a free agent end of this year. So, watch this space.
Yeah, I suspect he will probably end up going back to Bayern. He'll go to Bayern Munich on a free. That's what I reckon will happen. But we'll see. We'll see about that one.
Maybe, yeah.
Second lunchtime kickoff on Saturday because of a stupid frigging concert at the Old Trafford Cricket Ground is Manchester United against Villa. Comfortable United win, I reckon. Ronaldo scores again. United to win maybe 3-0, 3-1. We can't seem to go through a game without conceding a goal at the moment, so I'm going to go for 3-1.
And that is the reason why I think Man United will just miss out on the league this year because of midfield depth, and they just seem to have issues where they just concede silly goals. And I think you'll see that, like the game against Southampton where they drew. Very lucky not to, well, I would say lucky, I wouldn't say lucky for West Ham because, well, let's be honest, West Ham, they should have been clear with penalties, but you never know with penalties, but they should have been miles clear if they scored those penalties. So can't really put that one down to it. But yeah, I can see Man United struggling when they go to Brighton, Everton, maybe, because they'll just give away a silly goal. Teams like that are very compact at the back.
Well, you say that, but we're 29 games unbeaten away from home at the moment, so they're doing something right away from.
Yeah, I'm talking like, you know, drawing.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. No, yeah, yeah, no. And that's my fear. That's my fear.
You'll drop too many points by that. By doing stuff like that.
We've already been to Southampton and drawn this year, so. You know, it's
and they're not great.
No, they're not. They're not. But then City drew with them at home, so are they better than we think? It's a tough one. It's a tough one. Okay, Everton versus Norwich. Simple. Everton win. Let's move on.
Yeah.
there's nothing else to say about that, is there? I'm going to put it on record that Norwich could be the worst ever team in Premier League history.
I think they've got too many goals and Pookie to be that.
Well, they've not exactly started well.
They haven't.
Leeds versus West Ham. This could be a sneaky good game.
This could be a very good game. Leeds haven't been great this year. I've got this probably down as a draw. I can see. And do you know what? If I was Chelsea, if I was Leeds, I'd probably take a draw from this. West Ham seems to be on a very good high run. I thought that confidence could have been knocked out of them after what happened against you guys, but then going back up to Old Trafford and even though it was a rotated side, but still coming away with a victory there, we've just done.
They'll get Antonio back. They'll get Antonio back from his suspension, I think, against Leeds. But yeah, I think a draw is probably a likely result there. Leicester v Burnley.
Leicester.
Yeah, I think so. You know my feelings on Burnley.
Yeah, we share the same feelings.
We do. Watford versus Newcastle. I think Watford are going to win this.
Watford, yeah, I think Watford will win it as well.
They've had a better start to the season than I imagined. I mean,
This has got two of my favourite players to watch though, Saar and St Maximilian.
Yes,
St Maximilian. They are very enjoyable to watch.
If Newcastle didn't have Alan St Maximilian, they would be in trouble.
Yeah.
They would be in serious trouble. The late evening game on Saturday, this is going to be an interesting one. Brentford versus Liverpool.
Yeah, I still think Liverpool will... I think they're both teams that sort of play the same style. And I think Liverpool are much, much better at that style. So I see Liverpool winning 3-1 potentially.
Liverpool will pick them off on the break because Brentford aren't going to sit back, are they? We know that from watching them this season. They're not going to sit back. Yeah, I think Liverpool will win 2-1, 3-1, something like that. Yeah. Southampton v Wolves on Sunday. For some reason, one of the televised games. I don't know why.
They have some baffling televised games this year.
Well, they have to show every team a certain amount of times, don't they? So this will be one of those films.
Yeah.
Wolves are not very good. I'm going to go for a home win.
Yeah, I'll probably sneak Southampton for a home win. They're due a win.
They are. Go on then, let's do this game.
The game
that you're going to... the game of the weekend starts tomorrow at 1 o'clock, mate.
Okay. Yeah.
So the football match of the weekend. Arsenal versus Spurs, Sky Sports, 4:30 on Sunday. I'll just tell you what I think, and then you can have a bit of time to yourself to talk about it. I can see this being a draw.
If it's going to be a draw, I think it'll be a 2-2 sort of affair. There are goals in this game. Like you've seen 2-2s, you've seen 3-2s, you've seen 5-2s, you've seen 4-2s, 2-0s. 4-all you've seen, and there's always goals in this game at the Emirates, always. Spurs have been terrible. We've been terrible. We've just had to come out of our rut now, and hopefully we'll start picking up steam now. And we've caught Spurs at a good time, and fingers crossed that we can get it done. I think we will get it done. I think we've got to be clever. We've got to pick the times to go for the press, nip them in nice and early. Take our chances, because we are now beginning to start creating chances. I think Martin Odegaard's come in, and he's been fantastic since he's come in. He's just really been a missing piece. And unfortunately, Granit Xhaka's back from a suspension, so it depends if he...
Where would he play?
Central mid. He'll probably go... So at the moment, he played Odegaard a little bit deeper in the Xhaka role. What's been right. Fantastic, because it's actually someone with a bit of mobility and take the ball in a half turn. Yeah. Unlike Xhaka in that role. And he's been a revelation in that position. So if he's going to try and go a bit more solid at the back, I can see the reason for doing it. I really can. But I really hope he continues playing Odegaard in that role and then having the three behind Aubameyang of Saka, Smith-Rowe and Pepe.
Be a mistake to bring Xhaka back into the team if that's been working for you. I think that would be a mistake.
I honestly, I don't want to talk about Arsenal all the time. There's just two players I just really want to really hats off, and they've just really exceeded my expectations so far. And it's only been a couple of games, but Tomiyasu looks like a fantastic signing at that right. Just looks solid, wins the ball. He's 6'2" for a right back. You don't get that these days for a right back. It's very technical, the ball. Another one is Aaron Ramsdale. All the laughing and joking when Arsenal put the money in for Aaron Ramsdale, he has been sensational. He has been brilliant.
The reason that people are laughing at him, because the last two teams he's played for have been relegated. That's why they're laughing.
That's no fault of Aaron Ramsdale. They didn't get relegated because of Aaron Ramsdale. And
he's a man that's fully in charge of stopping the ball going in the net.
Yeah, but it's a game of 11 on 11 players. It's not just down to Aaron Ramsdale. And I fully expect to see the next England squad that comes out with Aaron Ramsdale's name in it. I really do. His passing ability out from the back is fantastic as well. His weight of passing is brilliant. The variation of passing has just been fantastic. And I love it. He just commands the box. So that's my big shout out. And I think Arsenal will win this game 3-0.
3-0. I think you must have been doing some funny stuff at work if you think the game's going to finish 3-0. But yeah.
It's a derby. You back your own team and you love them. So.
Yeah, no, you do. You do. So I'm going to go for a draw because I have no interest in either team. I just want to see a good football match. But then, to be fair, at 4:30 on Sunday, there's going to be the Ryder Cup and there's going to be the NFL starting at 6 o'clock. So I probably will make the Arsenal-Tottenham game third on my list of things that I'm going to watch on Sunday.
Yeah, you probably watch your Arsenal-Tottenham until half-time.
Well, it depends what time the singles start in the Ryder Cup on Sunday. I'm thinking they'll probably Yeah, they'll probably start around about 6 p.m. our time. 5-6 p.m. our time.
Yeah, probably.
So.
No! It'd be later. It'd be earlier than that. I thought.
Will it? They don't start till 1 o'clock in the afternoon when they're over here.
Oh, I suppose. Yeah.
It's only the four balls and the foursomes that start super early in the morning because they have to
about
fit.
Five or six.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm gonna have to have a stream on the laptop, the TV going. It's gonna be mental on Sunday. We've got one more game to discuss. And this always puzzles me. This is a derby for some reason, and I don't understand why. Nobody's ever been able to explain to me why it's a derby and they hate each other. But it's Crystal Palace versus Brighton. Ben, help me understand.
It does go back a long time ago, and it is really it's a bit of a bonkers. It grew in the 70s, and it's just when former teammates and manager Alan Mullenry and Terry Venables were managers, and basically there's just lots of tension between the two clubs, and it's just carried over. So imagine like Arsenal United, you know how we hated each other in the 90s and 2000s. Now just imagine that carrying on all the way. Well, we still have a dislike for each other, but not like the way Brighton and Palace hate each other, and carry that all the way over from the 70s now to 2021.
Yeah,
I don't think it really helps. I think what helps them, this wouldn't be Palace's main derby if, say, Charlton were in the Premier League, or you know, another South London club. And
would that be a?
Yeah, not much though. But they wouldn't. Brighton haven't got anyone to have a derby with.
No,
on the South Coast.
But not even Southampton, because they're quite a long way away, aren't they?
Yeah, it's quicker. It's probably quicker to get to. It's quicker to get to Croydon for the Palace than it is to get to Southampton or Portsmouth from Brighton.
Yeah.
So it is for them, the local team in the Premier League for them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I genuinely didn't know what the reason was for.
Yeah, it's too of Alan Mullery. If you go on YouTube, I'll have a little
Google of it later on to see. But this, I think this will get a draw written all over it, to be honest with you. Palace are doing better than I thought.
I can see Brighton nicking a winner here.
Okay.
Pays me to say that because I love Patrick Vieira.
Well, yeah, but no, I think I'm going to go with draw on that one.
Fair enough.
So that's pretty much it for the Premier League. Is there anything else you wanted to talk about in terms of the Premier League before we do a quick Ryder Cup preview?
No, all good. Man.
Okay, so we were hoping to.
Where's Jason?
We were hoping to be. Well, because he's not here, we can just be pro Europe, can't we? We were hoping to do.
It's the only time you'll get me being pro Europe this season.
No, I know. But I was hoping we'd be able to get Jason from the Dome Patrol on. He's the Dome Patrol US's main golf guy, and we do talk about in our little group chats about the golf quite a lot, and I'm sure there'll be a lot of conversation going on this weekend. But I think this is a tough Ryder Cup to call. I really do. Both teams are fairly inexperienced. My only concern is that some European players have been picked on past glory rather than current form.
Are you talking about a certain postman?
Yes.
He's not been in bad form, though, Poulter. He's not been in bad form.
Yeah.
His record speaks for itself. Until his record, law of averages, this could be the year that his record in the Ryder Cup goes. But as soon as his record goes, there's something about those players. I'm not saying it's like... I'm not saying it's like this, but the comparing it's like Michael Jordan in the playoffs. Like something just Jason Park in a Champions League semi-final or final.
Yeah. Something just switches on, doesn't it?
Something just switches on, and then like as soon as you got to the knockout stage in the Champions League, Jason Park was just unplayable.
That's what it was. So I think Europe are going to be banking on John Rahm.
Yeah, he's the big guy, isn't he?
Rory McIlroy.
Yeah.
Paul Casey.
Yeah.
And Poulter. They're gonna be the ones that are gonna be leading the charge, I think.
But then you have got Fleetwood, that's won Ryder Cups, you've got Fitzpatrick, that's won Ryder Cups, Sergio. Sergio's another one
like Ian Poulter. I think he's been picked on.
I think I would have taken Justin Rose over Sergio.
I can't believe Justin Rose didn't get picked.
Yeah, I'm very surprised.
But then the American team's got six rookies in it.
This is going to be so tight to call.
They've got two golfers who hate each other, although apparently that's thawed out a bit now and they're all being a bit friendly during the Ryder Cup.
Over the Ryder Cup.
I would not be surprised if they get paired together tomorrow. in the four ball, not the foursome. Because I don't think DeChambeau could play in a four ball, a foursome.
Yeah, because, but in a four ball.
But in a four ball, I think DeChambeau and
you're kind of a bit more.
You got a bit more free reign, haven't you? Yeah.
Yeah. But tell you what, I'd love for those two to go together and get spanked in the first game, and then you start seeing it all unravel. That'd be the dream scenario.
I'd crowd a turn on DeChambeau, even though it's going to be a completely full American crowd. There's no European fans allowed.
Unless they live in America.
But in America. I think you could see the crowd turning. But yeah, I mean, like I said, it starts at 1 p.m. tomorrow. I'll be at work at 1 o'clock, but I will be taking my phone with Sky Go on it, and I will have the Ryder Cup on.
It's gonna be great, can't wait.
Whilst I'm waiting, so give me a prediction for what you think is going to what you think the final score is going to be in the Ryder Cup.
Oh, I can't call the score, but Europe won't win it, they'll retain it.
So you think it's going to be a 14-all draw then?
Yeah, I could see a 14-all draw.
I think Europe will win 15-13, and it's going to come down to the last. It's going to come down to the last pair on the last hole. It's going to go all the way. So 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, fuck.
Do you remember like it did in Medina, the miracle in Medina? It's going to be like that.
I called it on the Saturday night that we'll come back and win that.
In terms of how late it's going to be.
I didn't put any money on it.
Have you had a dabble this year?
Not yet. I'll look tomorrow morning.
Right. Okay. Cool. So, yeah, we've both gone for Europe to retain then. Nice.
Oh, well, you've gone for Europe to win. I've gone to retain.
Well, yeah, but yeah. So go on, Europe.
Yes.
Go on, Ben. Say it. I know you'll hate it. Say it.
Come on, mixture of British players and some European players.
Yeah, some foreigns.
Some foreigns.
We all done?
Yeah, man. It's great talking again.
Cool. So that's all the show we have for you right now. We want to thank our loyal listeners for downloading each week and for telling all your friends about Don't Patrol United Network, where you only have to subscribe to one feed to receive multiple free podcasts, including the 2-point conversion instant reaction show, which this week was fun. Always fun when we lose. The Dome Patrol podcast, which again was fun this week. The BS and Beer podcast, the Pelican Plunge, the Premier League podcast, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, and the Tigers Den with Scott. You can follow each show on Twitter at Dome Patrol PCast, at Dome Patrol UK, at BS and Beer Media, at Taking the Over, at Tiger_podcast, or follow me and Ben on at Dome Patrol Prem. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitch for live streams at twitch.tv Dome Patrol Podcast. And if you want to listen to the old fashioned way, go to Dome Patrol Podcast.
.com.
Say goodbye, Ben.
See you later, mate. Do it for Sevi. I'm fine, let Nike shoes to keep myself tethered to the days I tried to lose. My mama said, slow down, you must make your own shoes. Stop dancing to the music, I've got gorillas in a happy mood. Keeping my groove on.